I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Monday, the 1st of August. August is here. Derek Russell over there.
Rabbit.
What?
You're supposed to do it twice, and I was about to do that.
I forgot what the rabbit thing was about.
You just say it at the beginning of every month for good luck. We've done this before.
Yeah,
I think we've run this bit into the ground.
I think
every time you go, I don't remember what that's for, and then I have to explain it to you.
Yeah, that was Chris Kiefer chiming in with the rabbit.
Sorry, I stole your line.
Taking away people's bits.
Anybody have a great weekend?
Sounds like you didn't.
Nope, I didn't. We got had the stomach flu. That's always fun. So yeah, the wife got the stomach flu Friday night / Saturday morning. I got it the next day. So I just got over it. It's a good time.
Forgive me for not getting any closer to you than I am.
I'm over it. I'm not contagious.
Wish I was in a smock and a surgical mask. Afraid even looking at you might contract something, but
No.
It's okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry for your illness. Didn't spread through the children?
The baby? Well, I think one of our children gave it to us.
Uh-huh.
But nobody else has gotten it.
Okay.
So
the baby's good.
Yeah. For now.
Yeah. What was that? There was a hesitation there.
Well, apparently, though,
is this like patient zero?
I've heard this before, though, that breastfed babies they get enough. I guess they get antibodies or whatever from their mother's milk, so it makes them less likely to get sick from what their parents had. That's what I've heard. So she's fine for now.
Thank you, Brad, for informing us all.
Just trying to educate the masses.
The miracle of modern life.
By the way,
yes,
our little baby turns a year old.
Oh, good grief. You did mention that the other day.
Wow,
11
days.
I can't believe it's been that long.
I can't either, dude. This year's flown. She's trying to walk now. That's always fun.
Does Rachel have big plans for the first birthday party? Or
I don't know.
Is that the novelty of that kind of
I think she's still stressed about trying to get everything sorted in our new house. But
how's the skylight?
Oh, it's still there.
No, yeah, it's good.
Turns out the home warranty doesn't pay for it. So.
No. It's going to be a permanent fixture for a while.
It may be until I scrape up the dough for it.
I told you, we'll all come over and fix it. Put some
plastic trash bags over it or something. I don't know. That's fine.
We'll come over there and take care of it for you.
Classy.
No problem. Mine starts kindergarten on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. School starts this week. My kids are going to be so angry Wednesday morning when I wake them up at 6 o'clock.
You've done that like 12 times, though. Sent one off to kindergarten. This is like the 13th or 12th time.
And now we got two in high school, one in 6th grade. Of course, the one in college. She goes up to Virginia later this month. So, but yeah.
And a one-year-old.
My kids tend to sleep. Yeah, my kids like to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be in for a rude awakening Wednesday. I mean, they know it's coming, but they're still going to. Like my second oldest daughter, she will injure me. She will try to injure me when I wake her up. She swears she's not awake when it happens, but she will just start wailing.
That's just an excuse to beat the crap out of
her. She'll just start wailing on me when I'm trying to get her out of bed. She's like, I don't remember that. Okay, sure. Yeah. It's a scary prospect waking up my kids.
It's a defense mechanism.
You need to buy her Thomas's body armor.
Yeah.
For the day.
You just slowly go in there and just do those gradual wake-ups with, like, the violin.
That doesn't work.
Coming to America.
You just got to rip the Band-Aid off of these kids, man. Just go in there and jump on them and start tickling or whatever.
I started about 3 weeks ago putting an alarm clock in Wesley's room, and she's surprisingly done well with it. I haven't taught her that there's a snooze on it that can let her go back to sleep. I've just told her she has to get up. I put it across the room and she has to get up and physically turn it off, and she didn't get back in bed. So,
Wasn't there a story involving her and an alarm clock or something that was going off in your house and she said, shut it off, or happened a few months ago? I can't remember if it was an alarm clock,
I think it may have been the first time when I bought the alarm clock and I thought, we'll try this. I don't really remember the story there, but it seems like there was something to that effect.
She had some kind of witty response, which is why I remember it.
But. Yeah, well, it didn't end up taking flight until recently, so the last few weeks, but she's been doing okay. I've been backing it up in 5-minute increments every morning, just getting her a little bit earlier.
That's what we should be doing, but we're just going to... No.
Just throw them to the sharks?
Yeah. They're probably still asleep as I'm talking right now.
6 a.m. They'll be raring to go.
Let's go, kids.
Yeah.
As my dad would say, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Mm.
I hear you guys complaining about kids who sleep in too late. I'm thinking about mine that wants to get up at 5:30 every morning, even on Saturday.
Well, that'll be good when school starts.
Be good when school starts. Yeah. Not so good in the summertime.
Yeah, mine.
On the weekends.
Mine would sleep till noon.
Yeah.
At the age of five, would sleep till noon. So I used to be able to do that. I can't do it anymore.
I can't either for many reasons. Anyway, so what we got on the show today, Derek?
I think Rod Wajardo, our editor, is going to be joining us.
The big cheese is coming.
We'll be discussing your peer review.
Glad I dressed up.
Uh-huh. And,
hey, look, we got the gray shirt memo, both of us.
I was going to say, I'm glad you consider that dressing up.
Well,
I didn't say I dressed up. I know I did.
For me, this is dressed up.
Oh,
I tucked in the polo
the holy
shirt.
Holy jeans. That...
Thomas Wells is going to talk about his In Focus photo essay.
Oh, okay.
And
dry cleaning fascinates me.
Really?
It does.
It kind of does me, too, because I don't know how it works.
I always get something lost back there, and I'm like, is this Narnia? Where is it back there? Where did my coat go?
Of course, I never go to the dry cleaner, so.
All right.
I don't. I don't wear a suit.
They do fascinate me.
Yeah, me too.
I'll give you that much right now.
I'll have crime reports today.
You will, because it's Monday.
It is.
All right. We'll go ahead and get started.
Let's welcome the big guy into the room, Rod Wajardo, editor of the Journal. What's up?
Hey, glad to be here.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you, making a rare appearance. You've been on here before.
Yeah, I don't get invited back. I don't know why.
Just say because you're really busy.
I don't bring in the viewers. Listeners. No, glad to be here today.
Yeah, man. I want to talk with you about what went down this past weekend in Tupelo. Of course, I had these two demonstrations, the Our Lives Matter 2 march downtown, and then later in the day, you had the name of that group, Confederates United Patriots Society. That's what they're called.
Correct. Confederates United Patriots Society.
That's a mouthful. And they were at Ballard Park later in the day. CUPS.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the acronym. And that group was rallying in support of the state flag and the Confederate battle flag.
Correct.
Specifically. So everything, I mean, basically went off without a hitch, I guess. There were no arrests, no citations. So that was good.
Right.
And that's leading up to it. People, you know, Mayor Jason Shelton was like, you know, we're going to take all precautions necessary. And there's plenty of law enforcement presence. But as he said, he didn't expect anything bad to happen. And that's fortunately the way it went.
Yeah, I think we were very fortunate this weekend to have those demonstrations and peacefully, you know, and I clarified this for a reader who sent me an email the other day. You know, when we say that and we commented that the protests ended peacefully, it's not because anybody organizing or involved with the demonstrations themselves claimed to have violent intentions. You know,
right.
From the beginning, they have all said that they planned on doing this peacefully, and to their credit, they did. But there were some very serious perceptions that maybe some outside groups would come in and maybe sort of take these things over and bring with them some violent intentions. So,
right.
But thankfully, that did not happen. You know, we were able to end everything on a peaceful note and without any incidences. And yeah, I mean, that's what we heard pretty much all day Saturday and Sunday, just from folks sort of in the community. I think a big sigh of relief kind of went out when these things ended with no property damage or arrests or citations. You know, everybody sort of did their thing and went along peacefully throughout the day. So
yeah.
It was certainly a good way to end a tense, you know, couple weeks looming over Tupelo.
Our Lives Matter 2 march took place in the morning and wound up at Fair Park and had some people speak there, didn't they?
They did. You know, the Coalition of Concerned Pastors has sort of threw their support behind this event, so several of them spoke. The widow of Antoine, Ronnie Shumpert, spoke as well. You had a couple other folks just sort of discussing what they feel like are some serious changes that need to come about in Tupelo, specifically with the police department, not necessarily even because of the Shumpert shooting in general, but just some allegations they say have been going on for a long time within the police department and some other things they think will just help prevent similar situations in the future. You know, they've been pushing for things like a civilian review board, citizens review board, and just more community policing practices. So they talked a little bit about those things and, like you said, concluded their march there in Fair Park after kind of winding through a couple of downtown Tupelo streets. So traffic was blocked off pretty much most of the morning.
Then they had the Confederates United Patriot Society at Ballard Park. I think they were there from like 1:30 to 4:30. I don't know how many people turned out to each of these. Do we know?
On the Ballard Park, there's about 30 to 40. The estimate we got for the march was about 250 marchers and demonstrators. And then obviously you had a heavy police presence downtown just because of so many streets needing to be blocked off. So,
right.
You know, we probably estimated total maybe around 500 just for everybody, and that includes police and every public works folks and everything downtown. But yeah, about 30 to 40 Confederate folks at Ballard Park, and then they also had some folks from the morning Our Lives Matter show up at Ballard Park to sort of oppose that demonstration. So
what's interesting is how this state flag issue has kind of gotten rolled into the Ronnie Shumpert issue, because I mean, Carlos Moore, the attorney for the Shumpert family, has mentioned the issue and brought it up, and you know, they're wanting a lot of people want the state flag taken down from City Hall, which for a few hours on Saturday they did take it down and put up the Tupelo City flag, which I think was kind of as Mayor Shelton said, just
a gesture toward unity.
Gesture toward unity.
Yeah, that was I guess if you want to call it a surprising move. I mean, I don't think it's anything that Mayor Shelton or any city officials said was going to happen. It just sort of happened. Caleb Bedillion, our local government reporter, noticed it that morning and asked the mayor about it later. And Mayor Shelton spoke about that during a couple of press briefings. He made the sort of executive decision to bring down the state flag for a couple hours that morning and hoist the city of Tupelo seal above City Hall while the demonstrations were going on. And I think it certainly showed, like he said, a gesture toward unity, and something that a lot of the folks involved with Our Lives Too Matter commented on during the march and afterward, that they appreciated that that effort and that action from the mayor. So, yeah, I think it certainly went a long way to showing that, you know, the city is interested in discussing change, and you know, as Shelton said later, he sort of wants the council to handle it. He doesn't really feel like it's his place to jump in there and make an executive order to take it down. He really wants it to come from council members themselves, which represent the constituents, this residents of the city. So, you know, we were told that was an issue we're going to be hearing about later. So, please, you know, expect it to come back up in the next couple weeks as the council starts meeting again.
What do you think this means for Tupelo going forward, Rod? And you had a column kind of talking about this on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, in the column I talked about, you know, what I personally felt like was a opportunity coming off of these demonstrations on Saturday to really come to the table as different groups and coalitions and concerned residents with city leaders, and really just talk through some permanent actions and solutions that can come from this. You know, at the end of the day, I am all for everyone's First Amendment rights and their ability to host and organize demonstrations like this. Again, I personally don't necessarily believe that those things are what lead to permanent results. You know, they certainly show the power that a group has in organizing a large group of folks. But I really believe that it's going to take more than that. It's going to take deliberate discussions with city leaders and community residents about the things that can really improve this community. And we're seeing signs that that's happening. You know, there's a prayer unity event happening this week at Bancorp South Arena, which should bring together a lot of different folks from the community. It's sort of a multi-denominational event. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, Shelton has said that he's interested in talking through some of these issues in greater detail. So all signs point that we're heading that way, but it really is, in my opinion, going to take some deliberate actions from a lot of different people to see some effectful change.
Well, you can read all about these demonstrations and our coverage of it in Sunday's Journal or at djournal.com as well. And I don't know, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't mention how good of a job our guys did covering this. Zach Orsborn, Caleb Bedillion, Thomas Wells, our photographer. I think he climbed a tree at one point.
He did, yeah.
Dedication.
He's still up there, so if anybody wants to
call the fire department,
please take him a sandwich. No, everybody did a great job, and And you know that they've been doing a great job throughout this coverage, in my opinion. Caleb has done some great reporting, and Zach did a great job on Saturday, and just the whole staff really came together and made sure we were covered. As folks like to say, you know, you hope for the best but plan for the worst, and yeah. And that's we I think had the best on Saturday with everything ended up so peacefully.
All right, Rod Rojardo on here with us. Rod, glad to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
Anytime.
Hey, be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. So we've got a new episode today. Go to djournal.com. Check it out.
Thomas Wells joining us now. Thomas, you went inside the inner bowels of a dry cleaner, a place oft not seen.
Yeah,
that's one of those hidden gems that people don't actually. Whenever I go in one and the things part, I'm always like, "What's going on? What do you got back there? What do you got?"
I wanted to uncover the veil.
Yeah. Did you climb on one of the racks and ride around?
No, I did. You know, they didn't have the motorized racks. I was kind of bummed by
that. Did they not there?
No, they didn't. I was expecting. That was one of the photographs I wanted.
The one, I guess we shouldn't say where the other one. There's one over downtown that has them, and I'm always tempted to just hook on and go like Mary Poppins.
That was one of the big things I was expecting to see was the motorized rack. They didn't have it. But they did have this cool contraption, which we didn't put in the paper, along the east wall of the building. It was basically an auger, where as the clothes went down, they placed the coat hanger with the clothes, and it just kind of slowly worked its way down to the next rack, and they took it off and continued the cleaning process, which was kind of neat.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it was one of those photo stories that I've been wanting to do for a while, and Greg Kennedy, the manager, was nice enough to let me come in and do it, where you just drop your clothes off, and you have no idea how the process works. And you show up an hour later or the next morning, and voila, they're done.
Yeah.
So it was kind of neat to see how they do it and how everything is tied into one central boiler and steamer, so everything's consistent. It was really, really cool.
My mom took some pillow covers there in 1991, and we never got them back. Did you find them while you were back there?
I actually did. They were
Orange Shag.
Yeah. Orange Shag. Yes, and I saw the revolving tickets. But no, it was really neat. I didn't realize how much work goes into it and how many people it takes to do dry cleaning. It's unbelievable.
I mean, it looks like, and I don't mean this lightly, it looks like a sweatshop back there.
It is a sweatshop.
When you look back there.
Which it's kind of funny because the workers have their stations positioned right up under the blowers from the air conditioner because once you step out of the cool air, it is unbelievably steamy.
Yeah,
it's July, August, September, I can imagine, is pretty brutal in there.
Now, the one thing I didn't know is that some of their systems are actually hooked to the furnace and the boiler of the structure.
Yeah, directly hardwired in. So everything, it's always hot. It's consistent. You don't have to worry about a cool down period. It's always on. That was the most shocking thing for me. It was not so much shocking as it was, that's a really, it makes sense. I mean, it really makes, you're not plugging stuff into the wall like a Sunbeam iron. Oh, it's got to heat back up. I got to get some more water to get the steamer going. No, it's always on.
Did you learn anything you didn't know?
I learned that, one, they work really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the ladies, I think it was Nikki at the very top, Nikki Rice, she was working four stations at one time. She would literally go from working one station, turn to the right 90 degrees, flip the pants, go to the right another 90 degrees, flip another pair of pants, and she was just going in circles. And it was incredible how fast they were.
They know how to do it there.
Yes, it was an assembly line cleaning process.
You said at the top, it always kind of, you just drop things off, and how you get them back,
smoke
it's
and mirrors,
magic.
Baby.
Yeah,
the dog
and
pony show that goes on behind that wall is just incredible. You know, the only thing I didn't really get to ask, and I was kind of in a hurry when I did this, is I kind of wanted to ask, what was the strangest thing that's been brought in to be cleaned?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the strangest one-hour cleaning process that you've ever had?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure there's horror stories from weddings.
Yeah.
On wedding day, they came rolling in. Somebody spilled probably red wine on a dress or something
Here's blood soaked.
Blood soaked,
Well, one thing, I guess, it's something that doesn't change. Like, technology really doesn't change with it at all.
It didn't look, I mean, it looked like some of the equipment in there was probably 20, 25 years old.
I mean, they're still tagging it with the little orange, you know, tags and everything.
Yeah, still safety pinning stuff together and stapling. And the equipment back there looks like, I mean, not saying it's not new, but I mean, it's
been well used,
right,
well maintained, but it just doesn't look like it's, you know, 21st century computer technology with digital touch screens.
I don't know what you would do with technology absolutely. For this. And
it's
kind
of like the cut and sew industry in the furniture manufacturing. It's the same technology. It's just, one, it's really well built and it just lasts that long.
It's like toilet paper. We've gone as far as we can go. It's as good as it's going to get.
As good as it's going to get. Two plies, buy it all you need. Yeah.
Thomas, thanks for coming in today.
Very welcome. Y'all have a good one.
Look for the Two Sports Podcast we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live at around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. The guys have been on vacation the last couple of weeks. They'll be back this week and got the football camp, preseason camp, starting up in Oxford and Starkville, so they'll have updates on that. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Builders are now lined up for most of the lots available in the first phase of the West Jackson Street redevelopment project. The project aims to add three small subdivisions along West Jackson Street. Two will be near the intersection of West Jackson Street and Joyner Street. Another will be across from the intersection of West Jackson Street and Shirley Avenue. The first phase includes 13 lots on a new cul-de-sac that will be named Ingram Drive. It will be located on the south side of the intersection of West Jackson and Joyner. 8 of the 13 lots are committed to builder Andy Davis. Neighborhood Development Corporation President Duke Loden said a formal offer has been made on 4 more lots. Serious inquiries have also been made on the remaining lot.
A group of Lee County School District elementary school teachers took a dip in the Tupelo Aquatic Center's swimming pool on Friday. The teachers were being trained to help the Little Ripples program. That is the program that allows first and second grade students in the Tupelo and Lee County School Districts to spend a week at the Aquatic Center for swimming lessons. This is the first year that the Lee County schools will participate. On Friday, Aquatic Center swimming instructor Barbara Gary walked teachers through the program.
Speaking at a soggy Neshoba County Fair on Thursday, Governor Phil Bryant said Mississippi isn't getting the credit it deserves for progress, especially in the areas of education and economic development. Bryant said some of the state's accomplishments are being ignored. An example he gave was an award the state won from the Education Commission for the States for Education Innovation. The governor also said the state doesn't receive proper credit for creating jobs. Other speakers Thursday, the final day of political speaking, included House Speaker Philip Gunn, Secretary of State Delbert Hoseman, State Treasurer Lynn Fitch, and U.S. Senator Roger Wicker. The Tupelo Republican urged the audience to support GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump.
The Saltillo History Room is calling for residents to assist its hunt for old photographs and documents. The items will be scanned and returned to the owners. The digital copies will become part of a historical database. Friends of the Saltillo Historical Committee is looking for historical photos, family portraits, old school class photos, and even old deeds that tell the history of the area. They will accept pictures and documents every Wednesday from 9 a.m. until noon and from 1:30 p.m. until 5 p.m. at the Robinson Resource Center on Mobile Street.
The University of Mississippi High School program is expanding this summer. The program provides options that currently help more than 250 students from around the world complete individual high school courses and complete degrees online. It graduated 14 full-time students with their high school diplomas this spring. The program will add more full-time staff and increase offerings this summer. In May, UMHS faculty member Thomas Harrington took on a new role as the full-time UMHS principal and coordinator. The UMHS program enrolls students anytime throughout the year and offers more than 50 online courses for high school credit.
Hey, it's Monday, Brad.
You know what that means?
I do know what that means.
A new week.
Oh, sure, that too.
Yeah.
Also.
Also, crime reports. Sound effect goes here.
Bum, bum, bum.
The Law and Order.
Dunk, bum, dunk. Dunk. Yeah, I still say we need to use that. They won't mind, right?
No copyright issues there. It'll be fine. It's short enough.
They won't notice.
We can use that.
They don't listen to the show.
I like the, I'm blanking on the name of the show, but the Who We Won't Get Fooled Again.
The CSI?
The CSI?
CSI, yeah.
Yeah!
I guess you've seen the montage of all of those together, which is...
No, I haven't. Okay.
It's just him going one corny line after another and taking off his sunglasses as the music starts.
Yeah, I like to use that little bit of audio on my blog sometimes. Well, anywho, let's look at some crime reports, Derek. You can find more of these at my blog at tipsheet.djournal.com. A Drive 1167 Plantersville woman said she heard...
A where?
Plantersville.
Okay.
She heard someone banging on a window around 7 a.m. When she looked out, there was no one there. Spooky sound effect goes here.
Doink, doink.
Does she live near woods?
Plantersville, I mean, that's not really that close to Moorville. So I don't know if we got Moorville Woods people headed the other direction. They had been migrating north. This is more like
it's
south,
closer
right?
to Moorville than Tupelo is.
I guess so. Have we had them in Tupelo, though? I don't know.
Closer than South Tillow. We've had them in South Tillow.
True. So, yeah, this could be what it is here. Woods people.
They're migrating. They're nomadic gypsies. I think they are gypsies, actually.
Yeah.
Could have been the wind.
Could have been. Tree branch.
Could have been her husband that she locked outside the night before.
Let me in!
Well, this could be a Moorville Woods person, and they're getting aggressive, if so. A Highway 178 Moorville man said he took the garbage out around 8:30 a.m. He saw an apparently naked man trying to get into a building just west of his house. When the suspect saw the man,
Dad?
The suspect waved and started walking toward him. So the guy's like, no,
Mom, how the heck are you? Long time no see, Bob. Oh, God.
The homeowner went back inside.
My name's David. Please stay away from me.
I'm curious about the apparent.
You're curious.
apparently naked? Like, he wasn't sure if he had socks on or not?
I don't know.
Thankfully, the gradient was there. The
it was pixelated.
It was pixelated. So.
He might have been wearing socks. I wasn't sure.
Entirely sure what's happening there. That's just a tan suit.
He had on a hat.
Gloves and a cane.
Apparently naked. The homeowner went back inside and called 911, wisely. He later saw the man in his carport and discovered his car had been gone through. So the naked guy knows this guy's home. I'll just go in his carport and see what he's got.
Bob, I'm going to check for a lighter. I'll be in your Caprice.
Get any pants in here?
Just hold on here. This is a nice vehicle you got here, Bob. Just going to sit here for a while, if you don't mind, in the hot Mississippi sun.
And these leather seats.
Seats, right.
Stick right to it.
The 51-year-old suspect was detained and charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest.
Is there not a charge for public nudity?
I don't know. That's weird. So I don't know. Maybe he wasn't completely naked. He thought he was at first.
Who's the real victim here? That's what I want to know.
He was just wearing his tidy whities. I don't know. So maybe that's one of the Moorville Woods people. Staying in Moorville, a county road 810 Moorville man said four guys pulled up the house next door, got out of the car, walked up to the property line and tried to get him to fight them.
What?
Did not go over the line. He walked right up to the line. Like
they literally drew a line in the sand?
Apparently. I guess.
They literally like put their foot down and said, don't you cross this line unless you're looking for a fight?
My thought is like somebody told them they'd already been told not to go on his property, perhaps. They were intentionally staying off his property for whatever reason.
They're on the property line.
I guess so. Then if he came to fight them, they could say, well, he came over here to our place. So we just started the fight. So a Murphy Oil employee said a man wearing a green and white shirt with tan shorts took a garbage can from the West Main store. We have these garbage cans.
It's a BP employee.
Don't come to my house.
They're picking fights.
Thomas Wells jumping in here all of a sudden. Where'd he come from? I thought we got rid of him.
He never left.
There's a door. I think it works.
So as we have these garbage can thieves, I mean, this happens all the time, but this guy like went the next level on us. He filled it with about $250 worth of motor oil and was last seen walking down Maynard Drive. Garbage can full of motor oil.
Just carrying it around?
You'll never have to go get an oil change again.
His car might be leaking that much oil.
Yeah, it could be.
Isn't that heavy?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. How do you pull that?
I assume
it had wheels.
You're not pulling that very fast, though.
You're assuming.
You lose control of it.
Yeah. If it's downhill,
it's
he's
sloshing.
In trouble.
I mean,
I don't know, man.
You need to work harder on these. I need you to start making some calls whenever you start reading these.
A County Road 931 Auburn man said his wife got drunk and threatened him with a knife before leaving the house. He woke up around 1 a.m. to someone pounding on the door saying there was a fire. There was a burning garbage can next to a semi-truck, which had diesel fuel splashed on it.
Is this the same story?
No, different deal.
I think we found a link.
Maybe so.
Anybody else put this together in the Lee County Sheriff's Department?
We got to do their work for them, I guess.
Apparently, we have connected two of your crimes. We know that they're related now.
Oh, boy.
We got cold case files. Yeah. Solved at the Daily Journal.
We got one more. A County Road 1233 Richmond man said he and his 30-year-old stepdaughter got into an argument because she refused to keep her room clean. The two have had trouble in the past, and he finally told her to leave. Well, she's 30. Yeah, probably should have told her to leave 10 years ago.
A little bit longer, she can apply for Social Security and get out on her own, finally. Good for her.
So that's it for police reports, and you can find them again at tipsheet.djournal.com. Well, another good show in the books there, Mr. Russell.
Well, thank you, Mr. Locke. I don't know if you're patting yourself on the back or patting me on the back. We'll pat each other on the back. I'm not touching you. You're still contagious.
I told you I'm not contagious.
No. Just your wife is. Yeah.
No. She got it first, and then I got it, so we're both fine.
So it just dies with you?
Sure. We hope.
I believe
nobody
that.
Got it last night, so
that's what you
hopefully
think.
The cycle is broken.
You don't know what's happening at home right now.
At least we're not in Rio.
Now, this is true.
I was just reading about the
stay
human
far away from that place.
The human sewage that people are going to be participating, competing in. Over there when the Olympics start, what this weekend's opening ceremonies. So, yeah. Have fun in Rio. Don't die.
Are you going?
No. Oh, I'm telling anybody who's going to be in Rio, try not to die. Don't drink the water.
I think most people know better.
Yeah, but if like you're an athlete and you have to do some kind of competition in open water.
There have been a lot of athletes dropping out left and right of this.
I don't blame them.
It's like, yeah, lifelong dream, but...
I don't feel like
I don't want to die.
Vomiting the whole time.
Yeah,
I'm there. So,
I mean, you imagine can you imagine what Bob Costas is going to get this time if he had that pink eye last time?
That's right.
It's going to be really, gnarly this time.
Oh, Bob. I mean, you got sailors, you got rowers, you got open water swimmers. There are some swimming competitions in open water, and the study that they've done is just.
How bad do you want to win?
Yeah.
No guts, no glory.
The expert in the story says, don't put your head underwater if you're an athlete. So all you swimmers, I don't know.
How does that work?
It's a doggy paddle the whole way.
I got my floaties on. Good to go.
Just hold your breath the entire time. That's all you can do. All right, so where can people find us, Derek?
We are online, memo.djournal.com. All the stories we discussed in today's memo you can find in the pages of your Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal or online at djournal.com. Find out when new stories and breaking news happen. Follow us on Twitter at djournal now. And to find out when new episodes are available for the memo, follow us on Twitter as well at djournalmemo.
I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke.
Uh-huh.
You're on the Twitter?
Sure.
At W. Derek Russell.
That's right.
I'm just going to have to do all your work for you here.
If you ask me where to find him online, I'm going to make you have to work for it a little bit.
Chris okay. Kiefer is at Chris Kiefer.
At Chiefer.
Chiefer. We'll be back on Wednesday. So.
Will we? Have a good week.
All right.